Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. My name is Marty Plum, and I am your host of a Pen and a Napkin podcast, a weekly coaching clinic you can carry around with you in your pocket. Welcome back to our interview series, episode number 286. I think I wrote that down correctly earlier today. We are at Wine 121, the unofficial home of a Pen and a Napkin podcast. We're not in the Don Corleone seat. I'm a little bit disappointed in that, but you know, beggars can't be choosers, I guess, Tom. It's okay. It's not like I have feelings or anything.
You'll survive. Am I live?
You're live. You're
hot?
On, yes.
Am I hot? Is that what they say in the microphone in the biz? Is that what they say?
Yes, the microphone is hot. So,
all right.
Really excited here to have three boys basketball coaches from the area, three boys Class B basketball coaches from the Omaha area, the aforementioned man, myth, legend himself, Mr. Tom Crable, the new head boys basketball coach at Ralston High School. Tom, I don't think I've had you on since you got the job. So
you have not.
Congratulations, Tom.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Retirement was not for me.
Well, you weren't retired. You were helping G.
I was helping the girls' side.
Yes.
Never again. Not my gig.
Yes.
We all have things that we're good at, and I found one that I'm not.
Okay. All right. We have two newbies on the podcast. Chad Mustard, the head boys basketball coach at Roncalli Catholic, just about a little over a mile away from my house. Chad, welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah. Awesome. And Nick Thompson, head boys basketball coach at Elkhorn High, the OG when it comes to Elkhorn. Nick, welcome to the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, appreciate you guys coming out here tonight. We got a bunch of things that we're going to talk about. Well, we have a list of things, as always, but if we go into a different direction, it's a good conversation. We'll go into a different direction, and that's what we'll do here. So, and all of this stuff kind of has to deal with, I don't want to say all of it, but a lot of it has to deal with summer stuff and the upcoming season. And I've just been sitting in my office editing books and doing that type of thing. So shameless plug, Hoops 365, a one-year guide to be a basketball CEO comes out. Hopefully, I think we can officially say mid-September. The editor, Valerie's doing a great job with it, and we're making great strides. So I got the cover design and everything, and that's out there, and I think it's going to be a really, really good deal. So shameless plug, and I can do that because I'm in charge. So I get to do that.
Love it.
Yeah. Let's dive right into it here. You guys are coming off your summer. Now, you're probably still doing a few things, I would imagine, here. AAU has taken over a lot of things for most folks. So even if you are doing stuff, it's probably not at the intensity level that you were doing it 3 or 4 weeks ago, for sure. Probably pre-4th of July. So would you, as you entered into the summer, what were some things that you were looking to do with your program, with your players, with your team? How do you feel like it went? What did you feel like went well? What do you feel like you wish could have maybe done a little bit differently? Tom, you're the guy, you're the veteran. I'll give you the first opportunity to answer the first question so the new guys can get the butterflies out of their stomach a little bit
It was very much
the leader here.
It was very much a new experience for me. Not new, but it's been 25 years since I was a first year coach at a school. So we were doing talent evaluations, what kids we have here who can play, position evaluations. Is this kid a one guard, a wing? Is he a undersized post, whatever? And then we're doing player versus player. Is Jimmy better than Joey? Is he a better guard? All that kind of stuff. And then towards the end, once we kind of figured some of that out, we're doing offensive and defensive systematic evaluations. Can this team guard at all? Can these kids move their feet? Are they athletic at all? Hey, we might have some length. Are we going to look good in the zone? I mean, just things like that that we're not set on, but we're certainly starting to talk about. So that's what we got done.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say we know where we're at.
Yeah.
Put it that way.
Did you have it kind of scratched out where we're going to look for this first, and then once we got this kind of figured out, now we're going to move on to this? Or was it just kind of, we're going to start here, and then this piece came in here, and then, how'd you organize it?
And this may be unique to me, maybe not. I look, are you a good enough athlete to play at the varsity level? Or are you a JV athlete? Are you a reserve athlete? And that athlete means a lot of things. That's strength, that's speed, that's, you know, size, that's IQ, that's all that stuff. So we're looking for our athletes. And then once we figured out, let's just say 10 athletes, okay, who are the basketball players within that? And then we started evaluating each athlete based on their basketball ability. Mm-hmm. And to be quite frank, we got good athletes. We don't have very many players. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. So we're trying, that led us into what we're going to do the rest of summer and into the fall. Try mm-hmm. to build, like we all do, try to build skill sets and fundamentals and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Chad, you just wrapped up year one, right? Or was it year two?
Yeah, I assisted JJ 2 years ago on a state tournament team that had 10 seniors, and then we had 3 seniors last year. We didn't have the season we wanted to have. We were competitive. We lost 6 or 7, you know, 2-score games, so we're right there. But for me, we were looking for growth and consistency and effort. You know, we got a young team. We're going to probably only have 2 seniors this year, so we're going to be young again. And so for us, it's really about as a coaching staff, identifying what we can do to bring the best out of each one of our players as far as offense and defensive fundamentals and concepts, and then giving that to the kids and seeing who's going to grow into being a quality player and then play with great, consistent effort. I would say my first year at Roncalli Catholic, we had 10 seniors, and we had a lot of kids who made it look easy.
Yeah.
They just showed up. It appeared as though they just showed up and they were great players. And so when those kids left, we had a lot of young guys thinking, oh, this is just going to happen. It's just my turn.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite like that. So I thought we had some success this June. I mean, you guys know June doesn't mean a whole lot of anything, but
it can indicate some things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, the confidence you could build, the camaraderie you can build, that connectedness, those were all positives of the summer. So I feel like we had a good summer. And now it's just evaluating, you know, what we can do for our players who won't be playing a fall sport to get them ready to be the best player they can be November 15th.
Yeah. Well, Nick, this is your 3 or 4?
This will be 4.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Yep. I teach history, so you have to excuse my lack of math
ability. I use that joke all the time as a fellow social studies teacher.
Yeah,
so
there we go. So you're a little bit more the quote unquote systems a little bit more established. It's the norms.
Yeah.
Hopefully now for the most part.
Yeah. Actually, we are going to change a lot of things offensively. For the first time since we've been there, we will not really have a back to the basket big. Where there was a Peterson, there at Elkhorn High for probably the last, 8 years, I think, if you include Dane, right?
Yeah. And so too many years.
We don't.
I think Mark Lawton coached one of his brothers his first year at Elkhorn, maybe something, you know?
Yeah. So actually it was a lot of new, this summer. And so we focused a lot of just offensive spacing, kind of changing to more of a 5-out offense versus, you know, ball screen roll, post on the block, all those types of things. So we're actually kind of teaching guys how to cut, how to space, how to play in space, how to give the ball space, when to, you know, and that was, it was good. They picked it up pretty well. I mean, a lot of them have played a lot of solid basketball. We have a couple good guards coming back and some nice pieces that we have coming up, but just kind of getting them to understand, you know, not just running around all the time. So, which, right, can be frustrating, but it was actually a lot of new offensively of what we did this summer.
Yeah. Scale of 1 to 5, Tom, 1 being low, 5 being the high. You know, if you were to take a look at what you were looking at before Memorial Day and where you're at now in the middle of July, how do you feel, 1 through 5?
Well, as a coach, I feel 5. I know what we're going to do. I know who can play. If we played tomorrow, I know who would start.
Yeah.
We've done that evaluation, I'm pretty sure. And where we're at as a program, it's not that hard. We don't have a lot of players.
But what I'm talking about is
where in terms of team growth,
what you've gotten done in the last 6 or 7 weeks.
You got to categorize it in terms of with the coaching part of it. I feel good.
Yeah.
In terms of
has your team advanced as much as you'd like?
Probably not. No, yeah. Nowhere near. And I was telling these guys before, it's my first go around with a program that has baseball. Yeah, Boys Town, we didn't have baseball. Yeah. So I had a college job at a high school level. I had these guys are on campus. It's a captive audience. I could work out anytime. When we go play, we had 90% of our team, blah, 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 blah. Well, now I'm navigating my way through, you know, different sports, different culture right now, trying to change some of that. So, but from a coaching standpoint, what I wanted to do in terms of what we're going to move forward with, I'm 100% on what we're going to run, what we're going to do, who's going to play, who's not going to play, who needs to be developed.
Uh-huh. Chad, how about you?
Same thing. I think as our looking at our team, the growth that we made was fantastic. Just playing at a higher clip with greater effort, playing together, scrambling, playing for each other, not just playing for myself. Those things have all been giant leaps for us. You know, like any coach, you can never get too comfortable. You can never get too satisfied. You're always looking to how you can make your team better and how you can make your players better and help them reach their goals. Mm-hmm. You got 12 kids who, presumably a majority of them want to play college basketball. And so how do I make them better players? But, you know, we got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
We got a lot of work done.
Yeah. Yeah. Nick?
Yeah. I mean, I would say definitely probably a 4 out of 5. We did a lot of, like I said, a lot of offensive adjustments, and from the first week of June to the last week of June, we got a lot better in kind of how we played, our pace, and all of those things. So I was very happy with kind of how our June went for sure.
Good. I thought this was an interesting question. I don't know. If I thought it was a bad question, I would have put it on the list. But Nick, we'll start with you. You know, what's something that you feel like is unique that you do in your program? Like, and this is kind of one of those questions where you have to suspend your humility a little bit. You know, yeah, you know, I feel like this aspect of our program, I feel like we do a really, really good job with this. And it could be something on the floor. It could be something with your culture. It could be something with, you know, within your school community, whatever it may be. You know, what is something that you feel like you do really, really well within your program that, you know, who, you know, of the thousands of coaches that'll be listening to this, you know, what can we poach from the Elkhorn Antlers?
Yeah. So, God, that's a great question.
That's why I pay myself the big bucks.
Yeah, and I feel like, golly, I don't know if I have an incredible amount of unique stuff that we do. One thing that we have, it kind of happened organically, but, you know, and this is probably not overly unique. You probably do it yourselves. But one thing I really enjoy is after every practice, every workout, whatever it might be, when we break things down, we always, everybody gives everybody fist bump, high five. Like, it's kind of a nice, there's just something that we do, and I think it, guys enjoy it. I think it kind of gives you that reset button at the end of practice, whether it was a good practice, it was a bad practice. Everybody kind of make sure that we connect one last time before we step off the floor. And so that was something that I think that is, I would be certain to constantly like reinforce that. If I went somewhere else or any of our younger kids coming up, they always see that. You know, we break it down and then we always stay together on the court and kind of finish kind of making sure that we have a little bit of contact with every single kid and coach on the floor.
It's simple. It's nothing that involves a bunch of production or any sort of major instruction, but it's a positive thing that you're walking away from.
Yeah.
Or you're walking away from practice with.
Yeah.
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 Okay. TK?
Well, I've been in this program for 20 minutes. So
well, let's go back over to Boys,
you know, again, where I was previously,
at Boys Town, there's a lot of uniqueness in having, you know, kids from around the country at the high school level.
Yeah.
Try to build a cohesive team very quickly, not really knowing your roster till September. We did a ton of team building stuff, probably more than most high schools had. We had the means and the wherewithal to do it again because we had a captive audience. We're like a college. My whole thing is just creating an environment of learning, creating an environment of championship habits, teaching kids what a good habit is in terms of being an athlete and a student and a person. So I don't want to bore anybody, but we've got all kinds of things to take the
behavior.
We're
here to bore people.
Well, where I was before, the behavior always got in the way of learning. Mm-hmm. So you had to fix the behavior before you could fix the learning. So I don't have as much. These are all good kids at Ralston. They're all normal kids at Ralston. They have good families. So I don't think that's going to be an issue. The only thing, we're very much habit building and environment building, and we play fast. We're going to play fast again. I think if you played against us at Boys Town, you'd say, whether we're good or bad, we're going to play fast.
Yeah.
Sometimes the ball would end up in the concession stand, but we're going to go.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to try and play the same way at Ralston and have an identity of that.
Yeah. So,
I don't know if that answers your question, but that's what I got.
It'll suffice.
There you go.
It'll suffice. So, how about you, Chad?
When I saw this question, I thought about this question. I thought about my time at Bellevue East as well as the last few years at Roncalli Catholic. And I think for me, I want to provide my players with every resource they need and a few more maybe they just want so that they feel like they're taken care of. So I'm kind of an aggressive fundraiser. We sell fireworks. We sold them fireworks at Bellevue East. We try to raise money to provide kids with nutrition. So like at Bellevue East and now at Roncalli Catholic, this will be the first year. There's protein bars and shakes in my room that any kid in my program can come grab anytime they feel they need one, whether it's after a workout for extra nutrition. I didn't have breakfast this morning because we have those kids at Roncalli Catholic. They can come get a bar or shake. So we do that, and then not super uncommon at all, but just kind of feel like to get the best out of your players, you got to have kids that care about each other. So we take a trip every summer. Uh-huh. Again, we fundraise for the majority of it. The kids participate. We were out at CU Boulder this summer, went to OU last year. I've taken teams to Wisconsin and Kansas and North Dakota, Northern Iowa, to places where I played for guys that coach there. So that fundraising part, it's a huge piece for us. I grew up in a house that didn't have a whole lot. So I don't want my kids to miss out on an opportunity to become a better team together or become better players. So that that money comes in handy for nutrition. And then obviously these trips we take every year.
When you're putting together that trip, let's say when you went out to Boulder/Denver, how did you put it? Did you have like a day or two on the trip that was no basketball, we're just going to hang out and do blank, whatever,
yep,
go to a Rockies game, or
yep,
I don't know if you want to go to a Rockies game right now, but
Yeah, there's like a team building activity every day. So yep, we went to Topgolf night one and just laughed at each other because half the guys can't hit a golf ball. And we had a parent chaperone that was, twisting my arm and say, hey, let's go up to Estes Park. Kids have never been in the mountains, never seen the mountains. Let's go up there.
Yeah.
An hour later, we got 12 dudes swimming around in Lake Estes, 54-degree water, and it was one kid, it was a parent, and then one kid, and then another kid, and then the next thing, you got your whole team, and they're doing it together, Yeah. Going up to Red Rocks, or my favorite restaurant in Denver, Woody's Pizza, in Golden, Colorado, and just having a meal and giving them experiences that, we have kids at Roncalli who pay full tuition. We have kids at Roncalli who pay the very minimum required tuition to attend.
Sure. Yeah.
And providing kids with those experiences, they see their coaching staff working their tail off for them. And it's probably no secret I coach hard. I coach the kids hard. I'm passionate about what I do. And in return, I feel like I'm passionate about what I can give the kids and the experience I can give them while they're there. So,
yeah. I would take my Scut kids out to Notre Dame every 3 years.
Yeah.
And we would go, and so we'd stop in Chicago usually on the way there. Like the first year I learned my lesson, we went out played the team camp, and then we stayed in Chicago for a couple of nights, and they were, you know, figured it, the next three times we went to Chicago first. So we did a Cubs game. We went to the Navy Pier. We took a boat tour on the Chicago River, you know, and different things like that, you know. So it was just, you know, just good stuff to get the kids excited about that. And again, the bonding time and the experience there. We didn't have anybody jump into Lake Michigan or the Chicago River. That was probably good there. So I don't want to say the summer's done, but we're getting close to the summer being wrapped up. Yeah, maybe another couple weeks. Yeah, you know, I think I have 24 more days of freedom before I have to report back for teaching. Not that I'm counting in any way, shape, or form. But so you're kind of wrapping things up here, and as you're looking ahead to, you know, August and into September, and probably, you know, definitely at the early, you know, at the latest, especially at Class B schools, you know, by early October, you're really ramping up, if, you know, and probably even sooner. So what are you guys looking to do with this downtime? I don't want to say downtime, because there's no such thing as downtime when you're a head coach anymore, but with this time where you have more time, not in the gymnasium, working directly with the kids and things like that, what are you looking to do to help prepare yourself for the upcoming season, to prepare your program for the upcoming season and all that? So, Chad, we'll let you start. You haven't started one yet, so
I've been yapping a little bit, but I'll glad to go first.
That's why you have the microphone hanging from your face right now. you're supposed to do that.
For me, it's a lot of organizational stuff, so it's getting my coaches together, and we'll talk here in a couple weeks about making a plan again for those athletes who aren't playing a fall sport. Like, how are we going to develop in four-man workouts? How are we going to make, you know, a player's weakness their strength and make them more well-rounded so that they can help our team win? And then it's administrative stuff, like making sure every kid has gotten their physical, making sure they've got their class schedule and they've got what they need to be successful in the classroom. And making sure that if guys need something from us or need something to be successful academically, we can help them be prepared before it becomes a problem. So a lot of admin stuff. The kids will be continuing to lift the month of July all the way through. And at Roncalli Catholic, we're small enough. All of our boys athletes lift together. All of our girls athletes lift together. So that's not real hard. We've got that pretty well established, but just anything we can do to get our kids ready for the school year. And then obviously I'm going to get myself ready for the school year, you know, teaching five or six classes, and so that I can be the best coach I can be because I'm prepared academically.
Yeah. I had a question in there and I lost it.
See, I'm yapping too much.
No. It's just old age. Seasoned and experienced state is what we'll call it here. So, Tom, what about you?
So we're all of an age where you used to go to basketball camps. At the end of the basketball camp, they give you a sheet, and it's your eval for about. I do that for my varsity guys. I haven't decided if I'm going to do it for the JV guys. Let the JV coach do it. But I put a sheet together for each kid that I've seen now, and strengths, weaknesses, what are we going to do before we get into fall morning workouts, and give the kid at least a starting point. So that's part of it. That's the player development part of it. I have never in 25 years had to run a youth program. So Ralston's asked me to start a youth program. That's part of the job. So I've got to go put that together, even though we're getting a late start now. I guess apparently youth try out like in April for something that starts in October.
Yep.
Which is just, somebody'd have to explain to me the
money. The money comes in April.
I guess.
That's how it works.
So exactly.
That's when the fiscal year begins.
I don't really.
It's just like.
Sports become a profit center?
It's been a while.
Without naming names, that's why we have certain club programs that have.
Right.
That have summer basketball tryouts in October.
So this is all. And the youth stuff. So, you know, we're trying to figure out what can we do. Can we do K and one and two, and then put a tournament on, and then start next year. One of the new things, though, I saw this. I spent the last couple of days. I went to Nebraska, went to Minnesota, going to Creighton, going to Iowa. But these colleges have signs all over the darn place for their for their culture and for their environment. And I saw a couple today I'm going to put up, and I just want to do things around Ralston in our locker rooms and what coaches' offices that that make sense to what we do. But I saw a great one today. It said, walking out of the University of Minnesota locker room, it says, think before you post on social media, protect your brand. Now, I don't think a high school kid needs to be protecting his brand, but I think that's protect our brand.
Sure.
Or protect our, or whatever. But that whole message before you're leaving the locker room, think before you post, is probably a good one that every one of our kids needs to think about before they hit send.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of what I'm doing. And then just teaching our non-negotiables to kids, which is just, you know, 5 minutes a day with them. You know, we're not going to do that, young man, or here's a better way of handling this situation, or, you know, uh-huh, things like that that pop up. Teach kids what we're going to accept and what we're not.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Nick?
Yeah, we'll have, with our top, yeah, probably 12, 14 or so, we'll have kind of a fall meeting. Individual talk about how their summer went, kind of evaluation. And so we'll kick that off once we're back in the building and it's easier to kind of schedule meetings with them before or after school. And then,
yeah,
just starting to get ready for, you know, fall workouts and those types of things. A little bit of, you know, like Chad said, I probably should be prepared for myself for the school year to start, because I do everything I can to not think about
higher education. Yeah. You're part of higher education.
Yeah. I do everything I can to not think about teaching all summer. And so, then it's usually like a mad dash the last couple weeks of going, holy smokes, I got 2 weeks before, you know, I got a report back. I probably should, you know, open some things back up and check email and those types of things. But it'll be a lot of that stuff, just kind of, like you said, a little bit of downtime, but also just kind of meeting with coaches. What are we thinking? Like, how do we want to organize, you know, once we get into fall workouts with those groups, and who can cover what times and that kind of stuff. And so it's just a lot of those like organizational logistic things. Yeah.
Yeah. When will you guys start your workouts? After Labor Day?
That I have typically just gone the first week after Labor Day, we start back up. I think that gives us 8 weeks typically. I think it's about 8 weeks, and then we do a dead week that last week before the season officially kicks off. And so I think it's about 8 weeks long.
So you see the sunlight one last time.
Exactly.
How about you, Chad?
Yeah, we'll have kids asking. You'll probably have kids asking too. It's like, you know, that's great. You want to be in the gym, you want to be working, but let's get off to the school year well academically. Let's take care of the important stuff. But it'll probably be right after Labor Day. So you give them that August to get settled in. And, you know, the gun is always there if they want to get in the gym and get shots. You know, if they want to call an assistant or message an assistant, you know, through email and get them in to work out or do some skill work. I mean, I'd leave that up to them, but then we'll start taking those guys and organizing groups of four that'll hopefully get 1 to 2 workouts in a week. And, again, for the guys that aren't playing anything in the fall, and full disclosure, I encourage all of my guys to play football. I mean, obviously my background was playing 3 sports in high school, and I think football made me a player who could play in college on the basketball floor, and vice versa. College basketball made me somebody who could be a pro in the football field. So I encourage them all to do it. We'll be fine. But you know, if a kid is sitting at home on the couch every morning, that doesn't help either. Give them the opportunity if they want it.
Yep. Tom?
We will start day one of school, because most of our guys will go, well, not most, all of our varsity kids will be required to do 0 hour, which is just weights. And then we can get into some sports specific stuff within the class. But that starts day one. So I'll have all the guys in there lifting. Now they won't be doing the same thing, because there's football players in there. And so they'll be doing in season and out of season stuff, but we'll be together day one, and we'll take the opportunity, put together some workouts for them. And I'm going to be big on player led stuff, try to create a culture of player led.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a coach or a teacher there to supervise, but we're going to do stuff in class. I think other districts do that with 0 hour and give them credits, and I'm not exactly sure how that all works, but we're going to try that.
Well, and in your situation, first year, you're going to be new into the building, all that stuff, and you're trying to establish so many things off the court so you can be successful on the court that there's probably a little bit more need for that urgency.
It is a shift. Absolutely. Yeah. It's a mindset shift, and it's coming slowly, I would say, at this point.
Are you still going forward?
We are.
Okay.
Nobody's gone back.
Yeah, that's good. So, obviously, you guys have done some studying in your off season. Have looked at, you know, you just haven't been had your head in the sand or whatever it may be. So, whether it's somebody that you've played, maybe it's something you've seen on social media, maybe it's something that you've read or watched on YouTube, or whatever it may be. What are some of the best things that you've seen that maybe you've at least considered about, you know, adopting into your program, bringing it into your program, or hey, that doesn't really fit us, but man, I really like the way North High did that when we played them in summer league or the Western State team camp or anything like that, you know, because I was always on the lookout for, you know, I really like how Roncalli does that. You know, can we tweak that? Does that fit us? Maybe it doesn't fit us, but I'm at least going to think about it and see if we can fit it into our repertoire. So is there anything that you remember as you've been studying stuff while you've been working with your teams that you're thinking about adopting or adapting and bringing into your own program itself?
There's always situational stuff. You go out to Boulder and you see, you know, somebody run something with 4 seconds left on the shot clock or on the game clock from the slob or from a blob, and you pull those things and ask an assistant or somebody to write it down. Let's talk about it. Things like that. Anything specific? For me, honestly, I have a huge resource in our building. Obviously, JJ Stoffel was extremely successful, did things the right way, coached hard. And so, I was playing around with some things before we started summer offensively, and I was like, hey, what do you think of this? And he's like, I love that. We used to run that all the time. And now all of a sudden it's 2025 and he's breaking out a DVD of 240 clips of this offensive continuity that he loves. And so as much as you learn when you go to a camp and play somebody you haven't played or go out of town, I think utilizing those resources like coaches we have right now is just as important. So I don't have anything specific, but I think it's super important to understand that, again, like when I played football, that all they would say is it's a copycat league. It's like, if you're not trying to learn from somebody else and you think you've already got it figured out, you're probably in trouble.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yep. Tom?
I saw something Tuesday, and it's not a play, but it just reignited a thought. And I watched Nebraska practice for 2 hours. They went hard, went through some stuff. And then they do what everybody does, which is they break off and one assistant head over here, one assistant here. I watched Fred Hoiberg work one-on-one with one of his guys in shooting. And it wasn't standing there watching him shoot. He was coaching him. Mm-hmm. And he was, you know, helping him and this and that. And this went on for 45 minutes. And my thought was, as head coaches, sometimes you stand around and you watch other and you evaluate, and that's important. But I also just thought about the importance of, to a kid from time to time, of having the head coach work with you one-on-one. And we all did it when we were assistants and we all know how to do it. So I wrote that down in my notes, is that the importance of this during these workouts to pull a kid, or during the season, pull a kid after practice and say, come on, we're going to work on footwork. We're going to work on whatever we're going to work on. But Hoiberg was phenomenal in to give 45 minutes of his time. And that just reminded me what kind of a servant leader we all want to be and coaches we want to be, and to use, impart some of that knowledge.
Yeah. Well, Fred is the shooting coach. That is his
And that's
thing.
Great. Yeah. I mean, how many?
There's not many. I would venture to guess there's not many other Division I head coaches, especially at the power level, that, okay, I'm fixing Tom shot or Nick shot or whatever it may be. But
and I get they're all different, and I get they all give their players their time. But I'm talking about he was breaking this down with this kid.
Yeah.
And they were really having – I mean, it was impressive to watch from a distance to a guy that could have given him 20 minutes of his time and then gone upstairs. But the managers rebound for the kid and all that stuff.
Yeah. That's what Michael Plum did for 4 years. So, but but no, he would, you know, and that's not unique. I mean, I just say this from Michael's perspective that Fred does that all the time. Yeah. And
well, you asked what I saw somebody do that, you know, reignited a thought or we want to do. Well,
yeah.
That's exactly what it was.
Yeah. No, that's good. So, Nick?
Yeah. Probably, I think just some of the things that we saw, some of the teams we played. I mean, honestly, probably the thing that comes to me the quickest was when we the first weekend of June we were out in Kearney and we played Papio South. Obviously, they lost a lot off of that state title team, but just the speed in which they go through their actions was impressive, right? Like, and it was a relatively new group for Joel, and man, they run their split stuff and it's a million miles an hour and it's tough to guard, and it was just kind of one of those things. I'm like, well, this is big boy basketball, fellas, like this is you know, they're very good and they're taught very well, and you know, all those things that we know about Joel. But yeah, they were, that was honestly, it kind of jumped out at me of like, ooh, okay, this is we got to kind of strap in here, otherwise it's going to get ugly in a hurry.
How did you use that as a teaching moment for your kids?
Yeah, I think it's just understanding the pace in which we can play with all the time. It's, you know, it's our choice of like how hard and how connected we're going to be offensively, of knowing what everybody else is going to be doing, and when you know and you have those kind of systems in place, and just letting kids read and make plays, and how fast they moved. I think that was a big part of kind of our post game conversation of like they're high school kids too, you know, but they play with an intensity and a speed that is tough to guard. I mean, it makes them always super solid, right? Even in the years that they're not, you know, nearly as good as they were this last year, they're always tough, and it's just how they play, how they practice, you can tell. So
yeah, and the trust that they play with. But because you rep it hard, you work at it hard, you have championship habits, championship standards, even when you're not as quote unquote talented, and they lost studs.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that trickles down. That trickles down. Okay, this is how we do things at Titans, as G would say.
Yeah.
G and Siski, as they argue about the supremacy of Papillion, Nebraska. So,
Battle of the Minds right there.
The Battle of the Minds, you bet. It's amazing how many times G comes up on these podcasts in some way, shape, or form. I'm not quite sure how it happens, but it just does. So, you know, it's the middle part of July right now. Like I said, summer's winding down. You're looking at your team, and everybody does it. I did it. You go, okay, all right, Elkhorn, yeah, we should get that. When Ralston, you know, if they had a better head coach, we'd be in, you know, but on down the line. And sometimes you can measure those by wins and losses, and we do that. You think about it. Again, we all think about it, even when we say we try not to think about it, but we do. You know, it's 7 months, 7-8 months until your season's going to be over. But as you're looking at your program right now, as you're looking at your team and where it stands after, you know, it sounds like all three of you guys are pretty pleased with your summer and what you did and what you got done. What do you you know, where do you hope to be at in the middle of February? You know, what kind of state would you like for your program and your team to be at? We were talking off air, so playoffs are different now, or postseason play is different. We got the statewide serpentine in Class B, so it's going to be set up differently and that type of thing. So what are you thinking about that in that regard?
I'll give you a very intrinsic answer.
Sure.
Because I'm not sure, to be brutally honest. So,
and sometimes you don't know. I mean,
but starting out, new program, I'm going to evaluate, have we taught our kids to concentrate on our process? Whatever our process is at Rawson, do we know what our expectations are, what the process of the day is, what the process of the week is, what are we trying to accomplish? Because if we teach them that, I think ultimately the results will come with all of that. And so I won't get wrapped up this first year in a number.
Yeah.
But more of setting a foundation for the next 5-10 years, however long I got left. And if I don't, maybe I should concentrate on that number. I won't have very many years left. But I think it's for us at this moment, as you're asking that question, it's got to be a very intrinsic thought process. It got like, where are we at just in our mental building and our habits and those kinds of things?
Uh-huh.
And just be driven by the next day versus the result.
Uh-huh. Jet?
You know, I think it's the same thing. You know, we stress some basic things: energy, effort, execution, 3 E's there. We had a lot of guys last year play with good energy, coming to the gym. Are they a guy you want to play with? Do they have good energy? Are they lifting you up? Sure. Yeah, we had a bunch of that last year. We could have had a little bit more. Effort, again, I think our kids play hard for the most part. I don't tolerate lack of effort. I'll play the guys who aren't going to play hard. And then execution, I think we want to be a better executing team than we did last year. We lost, again, 6 or 7 2-possession games where we're not, you know, we're going under on the only 3-point shooter we can't go under on. Or we're in a timeout and we drop a play to get us a layup full court and the guy who's supposed to go score doesn't know he's getting the ball and things like that. Like a new program, new expectations.
You drew up a play for a guy and they were supposed to get the ball and they didn't know that. That's like Halley's Comet.
We had, you know, yeah, it's weird. That never happens.
Yeah.
I'll go further. We had a senior ask a question coming out of the huddle, which is great. But when I gave him the answer, kid number one took that answer as that's what we're doing. Miscommunication, right? That's on me. I'm the coach.
Yeah.
So, you know, we want to get back to the standard that Coach Dofell said at Roncalli Catholic. You know, they were in the state tournament frequently, in the finals multiple times. That's tough to do.
Yeah.
But we want to compete for an opportunity to play at the state tournament. I don't know if that's this year. Again, my first year there, they graduated 10 seniors. We're going to have 5 probably by the end of my second year. So we know playing with young teams is hard, but energy, effort, execution shouldn't matter how old or young you are. So if we do those things, I think we can have some success.
Yeah.
I wish I had a number for you.
No, I'm not. No, they're like, for me, especially kind of like in Tom's situation, took over a rebuild or took over a situation where the numbers were not there. The numbers were not good in any way, shape, or form. And when I was at Scott, and I can, you know, with some self-analysis and some perspective, I got too caught up in the numbers. I worry, you know, and I felt like I was good at the process, and then looking back on it, I was not as good at the process as I should or could have been. And so when I took over a situation where there hadn't been much success, I didn't worry about winning and losing, and it was such a liberating feeling. It was, we're just going to worry about literally the first day of practice. We worried about, this is how we're going to put the balls in the ball rack the right way. This is how we're going to treat the managers. This is how, you know, and I came, when I took over, it was 2020. It was the height of the pandemic. So we didn't have we had like 4 workouts all summer. And I think we got to play in the deal over in Council Bluffs. Those were our 3 games that we got that entire summer.
Well,
you know, well, money well spent, by the way.
Right.
So it was just, I've said
did
this
I
ever
put
since.
That together?
Huh?
Did I put that together?
You did.
Well, then it was money well spent.
It was. And you were a gracious host. But it was such a liberating thing. And if/when I decide to get back into it, again, it's just going to be all about that. Because the more I focus about the process, all of a sudden, man, we started turning things around a lot faster than worrying about the winning and losing. So I could give a I'm not asking for a number. I'm just asking, you know, what do you want to feel in the middle of February when you get to that point, as you're looking at it now in the middle of July?
I think Nick's going to say 21.
I will not say a number.
Nick Thompson, head boys basketball, promising 21 wins for the Antlers next year.
X is on fire right now.
Yes. Jimmy Boats fires back.
Beat that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, I don't, I'm probably like most other coaches right now. I'm very optimistic. I think we have a chance to be pretty good. I think that in the middle of February, if we can score the ball, we struggled to score the ball last year. And honestly, in a lot of ways, that will be a very good feeling, in the sense of when I first got to Elkhorn, they had been really, really good, but they played slow. They were in a 1-3-1, and they were really, really good at it.
Won a lot of games.
They won a ton of games out of it. They played in a state title, or state for a state title, but our skill wasn't great. And so we've put a lot of work in over the last 4 years, with skill development, shooting workouts, all that stuff. And so I'm very cautiously optimistic that we'll kind of, the fruits of our labor of like, we're going to be pretty, maybe probably the most skilled, hopefully, that we've been since I've been there. And I inherited, you know, a couple of really good players when I first got there, Colin Comstock and Peterson. And so like we had some talent, but the depth of that, I think, has gotten better. And so I think that, and that also kind of is why we decided to kind of change what we're doing offensively, because we think we could put, you know, five guys on the floor that can shoot the ball and handle the ball a little bit here and there. And obviously, as everybody at this table knows, that changes everything, right?
Yeah.
And so I think more than anything, it's like, can we be efficient offensively, right? Uh-huh. And it is all those habits of like, are you making everybody else around you better? Right. Or are you just taking the first open shot, even though it's not a good shot, and just teaching those things still, right? And going into year four, it's like, it's our shot, not your shot. You know, all those things that we all talk about until we're red in the face, and sometimes they still don't listen. But, you know, it's, I think that is honestly, if I think we could be pretty good, pretty solid, and everybody's goal is to make the state tournament, I think, you know, hopefully we have that, you know, we're in that situation where we got 32 minutes and we win that game, we go to Lincoln.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's everybody's hope, is just to have that one last shot at making it. And I think that if we share the ball and trust each other, like, we have an okay shot at that.
Yeah.
And so I think by middle of February, if we don't share the ball and we're not scoring the ball very efficiently, then that's probably not a realistic goal.
So, yeah.
You know, it's,
give yourself a chance to have a chance.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Are you, gentlemen, Nick started, are you big with either yourself or with your team? Are you big goal people, like writing out a bunch of goals, or do you maybe one or two goals, but it's more about just the intrinsic standards and habits and different things like that? I mean, there it's six of one, half a dozen others. There's really successful people that do it with just a bunch of goals that they'll list, and there's a bunch of people that don't, that burn the goals, that they just do the standard. It's just in my, it's one of the things that sparked my curiosity this summer is talking to coaches about that. So
yeah, I think I've kind of probably done a, trying to find my own way as a new head coach, trying to do that same thing. I think my first couple years, we allowed the team collectively to pick three goals that they wanted to have as a team, and none of them could be wins and losses, right? So it's like, what's our assist to turnover ratio? But sometimes that just falls into like, you guys don't really understand how statistics work. Like, you know, actually one of the, so this coming into last year, I did something and I think it'll be a frequent thing that we do, once a year, twice a year, maybe, is I had them all at the very beginning of the season, JV and varsity kids. I gave them all a note card and said, if you're going to play JV, how many points a game, how many minutes a game do you think you're going to play? And varsity, same thing, right? Yep. If you think you're going to be kind of a swing guy, give me both, right? And, you know, we kind of crunched the numbers real quick in front of the team. And I'm like, fellas, we're going to score 175 points a game. Like, we're going to be incredible, right? It's like, and, you know, it's like you're playing 28 minutes a game in the JV game, and then you're also going to play 12 minutes a game in the varsity game. You know, it's just, yeah. So it's kind of some of that.
I've done that exercise before, too.
And it's eye-opening because you go, fellas, we are not the Globetrotters. We're not going to score the ball that, you know. And so it was a nice kind of, okay, let's actually unpack this a little bit and understand, like, some reality here of how many points a game you're going to score, because that impacts how many points a game we're going to score, minutes a game, all those types of things. And I thought that was one of the better kind of ways to kind of put it on them and say, all right, let's talk about this. Mm-hmm. And I think it was pretty eye-opening for them to think, oh, I guess I can't average, you know, 20 yeah. points a game, and, you know, just unrealistic or realistic expectations. So,
okay. Yeah. Tom, well, goals or standards?
We had both, and we built a program at Boys Town where we said every year we want to be a holiday tournament champion, conference champion, district champion, state championship. That's simple. Those were our four goals. And then we get down to measuring smaller goals and, hey, you know, which never got into winning and losing.
Yeah.
It got into defensive things, offensive things, behaviors, things like that. I have not decided yet what I'm going to do. Different school, different set of kids. I don't know I haven't figured out what's right or wrong in terms of motivating them. Well, I'll always have individual player goals in terms of, you know, going to school, GPA, blah, 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 blah. But I haven't really answered that question. It's a good one. I haven't answered what exactly am I going to keep in that team room? What are we going to say in that team room that's going to motivate that group of kids and what's right for our program? So I don't know. I guess is the answer to that question.
That gives you something to do when you drive over to Iowa City.
Yeah. Besides eat a hot dog.
I won't say how our conversation went yesterday when he was driving on the way to Minneapolis.
You don't need me distracted, that's for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
So you were having a conversation, eating a hot dog while driving.
And texting. No, I'm just teasing. I was not texting.
We're glad you're here tonight, Tom. Yeah. We're really glad you made it.
That's totally a joke.
Let's just put it this way. I was on speakerphone, and Tom had somebody in the car with him, and I double-checked to make sure that his last will and testament was up to date. So,
like most things in Marty's life, he had bad timing. Okay.
My wife would argue that.
Yeah.
Or she would not argue that. So
that's funny.
So, hey, she's the one that stuck with me for 27 years now. So that's on her. So goals or standards?
Yeah, the standards, that energy, effort, execution. I think, you know, statistically, I have some things in mind. Like, we will hit some parameters if we defend at this level, if we shoot it at this level, if we shoot free throws at this level. And then it's my job and our coaching staff's job to get our kids to that level, whether it's the skill needed to make shots or the understanding of when they're shooting those shots, those things. But, you know, again, Ron Colley's had a ton of success. We want to get back to where Coach Stoffel had taken it, but it's kind of baby steps with young kids and young teams. And so we'll focus on the standards for now.
Yeah. Well, great stuff, guys.
Great appreciate stuff. It. Yeah. Excellent.
It's been an hour, okay. You know?
So let me ask a question.
Okay. I'm getting the question.
No, okay. Tell everybody. Yeah. I'm just curious. I think this is very much a collegiate thing, and I'm curious if you guys do it. I've been doing this a long time, and I heard a term that a RAM screen. Do you implement any of that in your offenses? I don't know.
That's Why can't I think what a Rams screen is?
Right, is it screening off the ball,
yeah,
and the guy getting the screen then gets into a ball screen.
Down screen.
Yeah.
Okay. Like a down screen into a ball screen.
Some people call it a zoom.
Zoom.
Right. Okay. So zoom. Yeah.
And the theory and the premise behind it is to take the screener's defender 3 feet or so behind, so he can't be at the line of scrimmage. Calvin Sampson there, or you can't. It's harder to fire it. It's harder to hard hedge it. It's harder because that trail, he's in theory should be trailing off that screen.
Yeah,
and so I was just curious if you've implemented any of that into stuff that you do.
I had my last year at Fort Calhoun, we had a couple of sets that we ran zoom action out of, and when we ran it right. It was highly effective. Yeah. It was highly effective. Yeah. So I don't know about, but that's girls. It's a smaller class. So.
Yeah.
My man, the Ralston Rams are going to need anything they can do.
It requires good pace and it requires good decision makers.
Yeah.
You know?
But, yeah. We've ran like some, like probably more out of sets than anything. It wasn't kind of built into an offense or anything, but yeah. Kind of some sort of down screen into a ball screen.
Yeah.
Ball screens in general have changed so much since we all played. It's like you used to teach the post to take, if the guard goes under, you're burying them, and now that's a moving screen.
Yep.
So screening on the perimeter has changed. You got to be really diligent. Like you would hope that you don't have to teach any of that stuff, but the reality is you got to teach it, and then you got to teach the play off of it, you know, the slip, the ghost, the pop.
Yeah.
And if you're lucky enough to have players that can do those things.
I think kind of with all of that, whether it's ball screens, Rams, zooms, all of these different things, and I heard an interesting hypothesis with this. More and more coaches are going to kind of the dribble drive. And I mean, obviously, that's been around for 20 years. You know, Calipari's Memphis team with Derrick Rose is the one that really blew that up. And I don't think anybody, I shouldn't say that, but not as many teams are running the flexes or the high-low games or anything like the old KU high-low or whatever it may be, because kids are so used to having the ball in their hands today that they don't know how to play off the ball. And any of your off-ball action is so bad because they don't know how to come off a double stagger or to run a twirl action and really come off it tight and set up your guy or whatever it may be. That was this coach's hypothesis. What have you guys seen on the circuit? Cause I haven't been in that deep for a while.
I'll be honest. We're looking at implementing Auburn, their cutters, which is just a wide flex in different actions and movements off of that. But then we're like everybody else and want to play around with five out. So how do you marry that? And I'm a guy for 25 years that ran Paul Westfall's, you know, rim runner and trailer and 401A and all those actions and sets, things like that, which I think are still valuable today in the high school game, in any game really. But there's some fun stuff out there to play around with.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What was your original question? You got me all confused.
I think with
can't take off ball can't take him anywhere.
Off ball actions are tough. I mean, I bet we all could sit here and say we are dying to get pin downs on the backside, and we're getting. And what do we do with that pin down when the defender goes under and when they chase and like having kids understand that?
Yeah.
And one of the great things about Ron Colley Catholic is that. I've got 6 jobs, so I can afford to work there. And one of them is junior pride basketball.
That's a moneymaker.
No, but it is a blessing to be in charge.
Nice to see Mustard pulled up in a Porsche tonight.
He's on an NFL pension.
Yeah.
I have a wife and kids, Tom. I love them very much.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's nice to be that connected to the youth program where I'm not just dealing with basketball, but I work with wrestling and I work with football and trap shooting and all those things. But it's like I can have a little more say in, hey, let's talk about these things and practice with the older kids and making sure they're getting it. But off-ball action has really gone away because everyone just wants to just jog through the lane and go out to the back corner and shoot fills. shoot threes. Yeah. But yeah, pin downs and curls and double staggers, I mean, those are all actions. If you can get your kids to do them and read them correctly offensively and guard them defensively, you know, you're going to be successful.
And that's why I think, especially if you're a program that might not be as physically gifted as program X, Y, and Z, when you zig instead of zag, and you really teach your kids how to, here's how you come off a double flare, here's how you come off a double stagger, here's this, here's zoom, you know, whatever, all these different things. Here's how you, you know, here's a good Spain action for you to run, and all of that type of stuff. That's a way where you can win on the margins by doing things differently than what everybody else is doing. You know, we went with switching every screen before a lot of people were switching every single screen because, like, well, A, everybody was 5'6" with their bangs curled, but B, nobody else was doing it. So we made a hybrid of what, like, Chris Beard did at Texas Tech when they went to the title game, what he's doing at Ole Miss with force of baseline, sideline, full front, those type of rotations, but switching everything, but making sure we had 6 feet in the lane at all times and doing these. And it was a complete zag compared to what everybody else was doing. And those are things that you can do as a coach when you're implementing your system that you've got to consider instead of say, well, we've just always done blank. Where can you win on those margin? If you can win 3 extra possessions on defense a game, that's 6 points a game that you're just by doing something different than what everybody. I always go back to the spread offense in college football. When Oregon started doing it, nobody knew what to do. It was almost indefensible. Well, now everybody but Iowa runs it. I say that with pride. And teams aren't scoring nearly as much with the spread offense as they used to because they see it 10 out of 12 weeks, you know,
so defense is adjusted and
zigging and zagging.
Yeah. I mean, if you play, we've all been, you play a team that runs, that sets really good screens on their flex stuff. It's tough. It's tough. Cause there's not a lot of, kind of to your point, there's not a lot of teams that do it,
right?
You know? And so when you run across that, you got to, when we're talking through walkthrough or getting prepped for that game, it's like, hey, if you don't talk on these screens, if we don't switch things hard, if we don't, you know, all those things, like, you guys are going to get blasted by these kids, and because they set mean screens and they're going to come off clean and, you know, those, all those types of things. So I understand your point to, like, being a little bit different, being a little bit unique. It's kind of like a team that runs a triple option now,
yeah,
right, in football. It's like nobody does it, so you got your, all your preparation is pretty similar except for that 1 week, right? Or whatever it is. And so I think that's those types of things. Find ways to be unique, find ways to, you know, throw sand in their gears or something like that.
Well, anything else, guys?
Nope. Well, appreciate the time.
All good. Well, I appreciate you donating the space, Tom.
There you go. It's anytime.
Greatly appreciated. So, Nick, Chad, the maiden voyage here on a pen and a napkin. You've survived it all right. You willing to come back possibly at some point?
Absolutely. Sure. I love talking basketball and getting better, and these guys are going to help me do that for sure.
Yeah.
Wait till he makes you pick up the bill. That's what you say then.
I'm not the guy that drove up here in the port. You know, I mean, the pen and a napkin budget isn't what it used to be, you know, so, no, it's been a great conversation here tonight.
Enjoyed it.
Yeah. Nick Thompson, Elkhorn High, Tom Crable. I still got to get used to saying Ralston.
You and me both.
Yeah. Chad Mustard, Ron Colley, Catholic, it's episode 286 and, a lot of good things. We got another good one coming next week. Another 1 week. I mean, you know, we got some really nice things lined up here over the next few weeks here with the podcast and everything we got going on. So look to buy Last of the Cowboys from the story of Snow Valley Basketball School. It's a really good read. It's an easy read. It's only about 150 pages, but it's really, really good. Hoops 365. Like I said, I'm feeling more. I felt very confident the entire time that it's going to be out mid-September and after this week, after talking with my editor, Valerie, she's doing a great job of taking my spaghetti that I throw up against the wall and then she interprets it. I feel really good that it's going to be out, and that's going to give coaches a couple of months to go through it. And really, I mean, it's basically going to be a workbook for coaches to process their philosophy and to help them become a CEO of their program. So be ready to check that out. Support if you're in the Omaha area. Come out to Tom's Place here, Wine 121, if you're looking for an adult beverage. And I appreciate you guys for coming out here tonight. So,
thanks, Marty.
Yeah, yep.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Coaches, as always, let's be sure to hone our craft one day at a time.